When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into 11 Personnel with Nick Roush and Adam Lucky, presented by our good friends at Monticello Bank. It's been a weird week for the Kentucky football program, but Lucky, we're getting a little normal. We're getting some normalcy. Liam Cohen is going to be back in the saddle Saturday night for what could be an epic ass whooping at Kroger Field.
Josh Pate wears white t-shirts. Pat McAfee sports a black tank top. I think Nick Roush should wear what looks like mid-2007 gym shirt and backwards cap.
You
I
like
think
that?
That should just be your podcast.
Should be
look.
My new look. Yeah, I'm down for it. Oh, I've even got a swoosh. I'm branded. Yeah, you know it's all toasty. Yeah. It's we're getting early fall, so where it's still a little warm. You gotta let the dogs bark a little bit. You know, so we're here to rock.
Milk jug full of water?
They're going to pull the wonk alarm on me at Planet Fitness. But it's because I'm so fired up. I'm going to watch a Kentucky Louisville volleyball game tonight at the Yum Center. That's why we're recording a little bit earlier. So appreciate you all still getting locked in a couple hours sooner than usual. This is the shirt before the shirt because I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off. You know how it is, like getting things
almost
ready
t-shirt time.
Yeah, you know. It's Dixie Highway casual, you know? That's the attire when you go to a Louisville sporting event. But, we got real football stuff to talk about.
Yeah, Liam
though.
Cohen's back, I guess.
Yeah, like that's significant. It was certainly on uncertain terms there for a while. Mark Stoops wasn't really sure one way or another on Monday. We found out on Tuesday that Cohen was released from the hospital. He said, see you at Kroger Field. And it was just like, well, is he just going to wave at us? Like, what's going to happen here? And Stoops indicated today on the teleconference that he'll be back in his normal play calling duties, which great to hear that not only, like, the severity of his medical episode wasn't enough to just knock him out for a week where he couldn't call plays, but also to give Kentucky one last crack at it before things really get rocking next week when SEC kicks off at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, you don't want to say you're surprised because, you know, you just did. No one knew. I mean, none of us knew. Like, you were just kind of playing the waiting game, right? You're in a holding pattern. But it's good to see that no matter what the situation, he's already back at work and operating normal. I said it kind of was kind of a freak thing, is what he said in the press conference today, which happened literally just like 30 minutes ago. So that's good. And for Kentucky, that's, you know, this is a program that's dealt with a lot when it comes to medical situations. So it's good that they're able to get one like this. Well, you never want to get one, but that you're back to normal by, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday, I think is a good sign. And so we can move forward and have the season and everything's back to normal, or at least as normal as it can get.
Right. Because that's the one thing about football that you don't get in other sports. I guess you do somewhat with baseball because it's almost like an everyday thing. But just the routine of the game week and the grind of it, the more you stay on it, the better. I mean, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, the other part of this, just from the football aspect of it, Kentucky's offense needs to be better. There's no doubt about it. We got a lot of questions that will address some of the woes from the offense last week. But it's got to be better. It's got to be better. So there's no doubt about it. But great news that Liam Cohen is back in action. I'm sure part of it too, man. He just is like, if you're going to move forward, you got to move all the way forward. You can't half-ass it, you know. Just go for it.
Yeah, this is not a casual job, I would say, being a big-time college football coach. You're either all in or you're not in at all. And so, yeah, I think that's good in that regard that he's able to get rolling. But, you, Nick, you mentioned the offense. Like, that to me is kind of the story of this week is just can they put a first half together? I mean, that's really my question. A full game, but not necessarily a first half. Because first half, I mean, that is what you worked on practice all week. That is what you script up on offense. And if you're coming out there and you can't do anything, that's a bit concerning to me. But what I say that knowing they've settled in the second half, so they've come out and they've just been lighting these two teams up like everybody thought they would. That was really kind of my problem when people were frustrated. I was like, well, they are doing what you want them to do. They've just only done it after halftime. They're not doing it for a full 60 minutes. So can they do it for a full 60 minutes? And that's really what we want to see. And mainly, I mean, a lot of it falls on Devin Leary. He just looks rusty in these first halves. But then he comes out once he settled in, and he looks like the quarterback we all thought he could be. It's just, can you do it for a full half? And that's kind of the story of the game. I think the defense deserves some benefit of the doubt here just because Brad White's been here a while. They've been good for a while. Like, they've looked bad. They've had bad moments in the past, and then they've gone and won this team games. They won this team the Florida game last year.
They
damn near won this team the Ole Miss game last year. They won this team the Florida game 2 years ago at Kroger Field. They won this team the South Carolina game 2 years ago down there at South Carolina. This defense has won this team games. Like, we've seen them bounce back and put the clamps on some offenses. But the question for me is, the offense. What is the offense going to be, and what does it look like? And that's something we're still trying to figure out. And we'll get a general better idea, I think, on Saturday. But we really won't know. I mean, until the Vanderbilt game and the Florida game. That's when we'll really kind of like we're going to learn a lot in those 2 weeks about this team, in my opinion. Just kind of where they're at. For now, I mean, I don't know. I mean, anything could happen on Saturday, and I don't want to come away overreacting, good or bad, because they've been just really using these three games as kind of a preseason, and then we'll go out and see when when the games start counting for more, when that SEC play starts.
I appreciated that when he was talking with reporters today, somebody said, "So was the film really that bad?" And they got a good. They got a good laugh from the crowd. The weird part to me, like it is just that was what Cohen was so good first time around with starts.
Yeah,
first half.
That's why it's on.
Yeah. Scott alluded to third down. And, you know, we can get into more specifics later. I'm trying to pull up the stat briefly because the odd part of third down was, I mean, the depth at which they had to go. So EKU. Almost all of their third downs were 6 yards or less. They only had one third and long. Two third and longs all day. They didn't get any of them. And then for Kentucky on third down, their average distance to go was 7.5 yards. Like, yeah, it's harder to convert when it's 7.5 yards. So we'll get to some of the we'll dissect some of the problems. But first, I need to tell you a little bit more about Monticello Bank, our presenting sponsor here at 11 Personnel. We're big fans because they're putting people first, whether you're trying to buy a home or a car, or maybe you need to refinance your loan. Monticello Bank is your local bank. They've been in business for 128 years because they're putting people first at 21 different branches in 14 different counties across the Commonwealth. And you can visit them online, nbcbank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, Monticello Bank. Check them out today, tomorrow, whenever you need to use a local bank to get your banking needs. And you're at a market and you need to close on a house soon. Monticello Bank is the answer to all of your problems. Look, we do have a slate to kind of get through on our topics list. The week two cleanup, just briefly. Texas is all the way back, and surely they're not going to stumble. Like, there's no way that they could possibly mess this up now, right?
I mean, they have an opportunity here, Nick, I think, to get that first college football playoff berth. it's teed up for him now. Now we get to see if Sark can not have a couple missteps along the way. But for me, that game really wasn't even about Texas. Like, Texas was what I kind of thought they were. A legit top 10 team, a team if things bounce right can make a playoff run. If things really align right, when Ewers like takes off like a rocket ship, they could probably win a national title. But the real story is just kind of just Alabama. Like, that's just never a game they really lost early Saban tenure, really until the last couple years. Like, they just figure out a way. Especially this early in the year. Right. Yeah. Especially those early games. They just figure out a way. To me, one of the things that jumped out was it was pretty – I don't want to say it was pretty clear, but they definitely weren't absolutely the most talented team on that field. I think you can make the argument Texas was more talented than them. Texas had the true freshman edge rusher that Alabama could not block. Texas had the receivers that Alabama could not cover. Texas had the better quarterback. Texas had the better offensive play caller. There's a lot of things like that that kind of added up in that game, and that's just not used to what we're seeing with Alabama. You know, I think the popular line is that Saban's lost his fastball a little bit. I mean, I think that may be some truth to that.
I mean,
but it definitely has a feel of like a 9-3, 10-2 team there in Tuscaloosa, and just how do they handle that? Now, does Saban, if this is where we're at with him, does he really want to stick around and be a 10-2 coach, or can he get it back, or how do they get it back?
Well,
it's kind of the big question.
You get it back without Tommy Reese and Kevin Steele as your coordinators and a better quarterback than what they got. The weird part was that they didn't get a better portal quarterback. You know, like, they got Buckner late, but that was it. Like, that was the part that, you know.
I just think they mistimed it, I think. I think it was worse than they thought it was going to be. And I think they probably looked at the portal quarterbacks and were just like,
fair.
We're going to pass. I don't. Saban has shown us that he's not afraid to upgrade his roster by going in the transfer portal. But I think it was just a situation where they probably looked at it. There wasn't, you know, a slam dunk out there. So they were going to roll with what they had. I mean, they've got four or five guys that if any of them jumped in the portal at any time, Nick, teams would be all over them. Like, if Jalen Milroe goes in the portal tomorrow, he's playing quarterback for a good Power Five program next year. Sure. So it's not like we talk about these guys in a vacuum sometimes, but it's not like he's a total bum. Like, Milroe, that touchdown throw he made was an absolute seed.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And he can make some plays, but he's just kind of figuring it all out right now. And Bama wants to come out and run the ball. They didn't have that dominant rushing attack like I think they want to have defensively. Is where, to me, the biggest thing is defensively. They just lost it a little bit on that side. And they're having a hard time getting it back, it seems like. Really, ever since, I think they went Kirby Smart, Jeremy Pruitt, and then Pruitt left to be the Tennessee head coach. Ever since that happened, to me, when I've watched them, they just haven't been the same Alabama defense. Like, they look mortal. Even when they won the title in the COVID year, they won that title because literally you could not stop that offense. Like, it was literally impossible to stop that offense. In that year. But other than that, they've had moments where they're just not good enough. Like, in the championship game against Georgia, they're letting Stetson hit bombs on them. You know, last year they couldn't stop LSU. They couldn't stop Tennessee. They couldn't stop some other teams. It was just
they're
like,
not
going
to be able to stop Kentucky in November, you know.
Why can't they buy stops? Like, what is going on? Now, I still think they're going to be fine. I still think they'll beat Tennessee. You know, are you picking them not to win the West? Who are you picking over them in the West right now? I would still pick them to win the West. So they're probably going to SEC championship game. So it's not like they're downright terrible. It's just they're in a weird spot because they're just not they're not at that echelon they were. And they're looking up at a couple teams right now, which has never really been the case for them since Saban's first year.
SEC Mike was right. He called it. He's been I would. It would be very funny, though, if you did have Saban retire at the end of the year, because, like, SEC Mike would just be dancing on graves. I mean, it would be – and my favorite part, too, is now there was a Saturday Down South tweeted, what would happen if Alabama went after Dabo Swinney as their next head coach, and just, like, the internet had him like it like vomited internally. Like Bama fans just it was so funny, and I can't imagine a world where that would happen. I mean, we would have a Greg Schiano to Knoxville sort of moment in Tuscaloosa. So,
well, to me, it's always felt like when he retires, just promote one of his coordinators, just to like keep the thing going. And I think that's what Alabama did when Bear retired. I think they just promoted Gene Stallings, who was a defensive coordinator. I could be wrong on that. Might need to brush up on my Alabama history. But that, to me, just made the most sense. You know, plug in the placeholder, see how it goes. If the placeholder doesn't work, have your national search and go find the best candidate. When you don't have to follow Nick Saban directly. I don't know if they can do that now. You know, the Alabama fans might have a mutiny if they hired Tommy Reese or Kevin Steele. Now, we'll see if they get things turned around.
Mm-hmm. Because some of those other coordinators,
that person is not there.
Those other coordinators previously had the gumption to do it. I don't know if any of these do.
Right, I always thought like Sark's there. Like if Pete Golding ever got good, that would have made a lot of sense because he was there for a while. Mm-hmm. If Pruitt before Pruitt goes to Tennessee, say he would have just retired then. Maybe you just let Pruitt do it, but now you can't because we all saw what happened at Tennessee. But I just don't know. Like, that's going to be a very weird and awkward situation. And it's, you know, we don't know how it's going to go, but you can't see this lasting much longer. And with the sport, you know, the SEC changing and probably going to more conference games, it's going to be, could be an interesting time for the Tide.
There's no doubt.
They could knock Georgia out of the playoff in December. say all this stuff, but you know, it's a long season, but they look mortal, and that's just been, it's more, that game was just more evidence of that.
It was a pretty fun week two, week three, not as enlightening. The Pac-12 has been a lot of fun, which makes this swan song just hilarious. I mean, hell, Cal almost beat Auburn. Like they had him on the ropes.
Should have won that game.
Arizona had Mississippi State on the ropes.
Should have won
too.
That game.
Yeah, so, and those were the only two losses of the year for the conference, which is crazy. Wazoo knocked off Wisconsin. Pac-12, a lot of fun.
They got a lot of good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That helps.
Weird. That'll take you a long way in this sport. The weirdest thing that happened in this sport, though, the Mel Tucker news, like, And the worst part of it all, Luckett, is that it's only going to get messier, and there's a lot of he said, she said, and it's like, oh, we've got rape survivor activist versus coach, like...
It's a loaded situation.
Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah, I don't even want to touch that. Like, that's going to... They're going to work that out however they work it out. To me, let's talk about what's more highly likely to happen is they're going to have a coaching search mid-season or at the end of the season. They're going to be one of the bigger jobs probably to open this cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, what I'm interested in, now we saw Jeff Brohm leave for Power 5 to Power 5, but that was a special circumstance. We saw Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly leave. And those were odd, but what I think we could see more of, Nick, entering this new era is Big 12, ACC coaches. Yeah. I guess Pac-12 is eliminated now, but those coaches leaving to take mid-tier jobs in the Big 10 and the SEC. Like, we've never really seen it before. It's happened random. Like Brett Bielema goes to Arkansas from Wisconsin. It's happened randomly, but usually that we went through a long stretch where that just simply did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be interested to see what that means for Michigan State, because that's a good job.
If Matt Campbell doesn't leave now, he's stuck in hell forever.
He's a perfect name. Like, I don't know if they would really want him now.
Right.
But he should highly consider that if they call to me. Like, you got to consider it. Like, I think Pat Narduzzi is the obvious one, just because he was a defensive coordinator at Michigan State. They brought Mark D'Antonio in to be like an advisor for Harlan Barnett, the interim.
Didn't D'Antonio get in trouble at Michigan State? Like, isn't that why they fired him?
They've had all kinds of...
They've
had all kinds of issues with cover-ups and, you know, you go back to Nassar. I mean, they've had all kinds of issues. And they're, the thing about them was, like, the new Michigan State, like, I don't know, being transparent or whatever. And that it's a mess. Like, it's a dirty, dirty mess that they're going to have to deal with here. But I think Narduzzi makes sense. Like Jonathan Smith at Oregon State. They're going to Mount West, probably. He's a really good coach. Can yep, Michigan get State get now. Him to leave the West Coast to come to East Lansing? And you go on and on down the line. That's going to be the interesting point to me. What targets emerge for some of these power leagues that are of guys that are just trying to get into the big club, the Big Ten or the SEC?
It's going to be fascinating to watch when the coaching carousel begins to turn. You know what's else also fascinating to look at? Bird Dog's clothes, because they're so stylish, they're so comfortable, they're so affordable. I didn't want to sweat through my Bird Dogs. That's the thing. Look, it's so nice. Don't want to have to wear it twice. But Bird Dogs, whether it's your, I mean, we got the stylish hats. Love the button ups. It was cool this morning too. Look, it's going to be quarter zip season soon. And my favorite is the quarter zip and shorts like that, because the shorts are where it's at, especially the Bird Dogs one with the built in liner. They're so comfortable. You can wear them whether you're formal, semi-formal, or working out. I mean, they're the best shorts you will ever buy in your entire life. And when you use promo code KSR at birddogs.com or go to birddogs.com/KSR, you get a hydro-style flask, too. Straight cash, homie. For free. They're going to throw that in with your order as well. So upgrade your tailgate wardrobe this fall. Get you some Bird Dogs today. I'd pull my hat out, but, like, it's... I've got a lot of hats now. I'm the bald guy has a hat problem, and it's really like I'm running out of hooks. So, it's under five hats right now. So we gotta fix that problem. But love my Bird Dog swag. You'll love it too. I also love some of the questions we got on KS Board for this show, and one of them's a pretty pressing issue, and that's about Kentucky's O-line. Wildcats 60606, so he went double 606. Even more intimidating, asking if the jury's still out on the offensive line. Have we seen anything throughout the first two games that should give us concern or hope? Their problems is a scheme or ability. Look, I got to say, I'm going to preface it all with you should be blocking well against EKU. Ball State was a nice challenge, but like you should do well against those. You should be able to prove your mettle against those teams. But all in all, it's been pretty good. And if there's anything to worry about, for me, it's the running game, and I'm putting more of that on the running backs, just not seeing holes or tripping over guys. Or I know Stoops even mentioned it publicly on that Caddis hold. Like, he bounced it when he shouldn't have, and the guy was kind of – he got caught holding because the play wasn't supposed to go that way. So, I mean, it is early returns against an FCS opponent and a MAC opponent. But, man, you tweeted out a screen grab the other day. I mean, it's a lot of time to
throw. Clean pocket there, Mr. Roush.
Yeah, it's a clean, clean pocket. He's got somebody underneath. Somebody's on the ground. Got a nice little double team action with Caddis on the max protect. I mean, Devin Leary has had plenty of time to throw the football.
Yeah, I think to the original question, I think the answer that if I just had to give a yes or no answer, I would say yes, the jury's still out because you got to go do it. I mean, that's kind of my overarching theme right now is we got to go. Let's see it against the real competition before we overreact one way or the other. Yes, they have to go do it, but I feel pretty confident that they aren't as bad as they were last year. I feel pretty confident in that. I think a thing not a lot of people are talking about, they've played well with backups in there.
Yeah.
They didn't have Kenneth Horsey or Jeremy Flax in week two. Yeah. That's two starters. Yeah. Last year when that happens, they gave up like 10 tackles for loss to Youngstown State. Like they couldn't block Youngstown State. They were just wrecked the offense that day. So that's been solved. When they've wanted to run the football, Nick, they've run the football well. They've just not committed to it because, to me, they're going out there and having a 11-on-11 team drill pass practice in these games, it feels like, at times. I mean, they're just out there just whipping it around. I mean, Devin Leary's got 20-plus pass attempts.
Team they're period, at, parentheses, pass.
I mean, they're at six. They're 67... They're 66.7% pass play rate in the first half. I know damn well Mark Stoops is not happy about that. Or not, that's not what he wants his team to be. I just think they're treating this like practice. Like they're just experimenting. They're like in the lab just throwing stuff at the wall, see what concepts they can run and what works and what doesn't. Like that's what it feels like to me. I can't speak for anyone else, but I'm just telling you what I'm sitting here and seeing when I look at. They're like when they go to Vandy, I bet you Ray Davis has right at 20-something attempts. I bet we don't get to the half and Leary's got 25 passes. Or they're behind early in the game. I just think they're just working on some stuff. I do think the offense is going to be somewhat pass heavy this year when they play teams like Georgia where they're going to struggle to get the run game going. I think you're going to see that number get pretty high for Leary as far as throws go in a game. But I don't think they want to lean this pass heavy. I just think they've been experimenting, essentially. And so they've run the ball well when they've wanted to. The efficiency's not always been there, but when you have kind of this wide zone, mid zone, wide zone approach, you're going to have some inefficiency with that, but those run plays lead to more explosive chunk gains. And I think we've seen that with Ray Davis. He's ripped off a few big runs. To me, I'd like to see Ramon Jefferson get in there earlier in the game.
That was a fun run he had on Saturday. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd like to see him, see what he has as a runner. Because we really haven't seen him. I mean, we saw one carry or two carries last year. And we've seen two carries this year. We really haven't seen him. So I would like to see him get a little more burn here moving forward. But I'm not super worried about the run game. I think Davis has shown some good vision, some good pop, some good feel for runs. He's missed a few, I think. But that's going to happen at times. But I feel good with him. And then I like the potential for Ramon Jefferson, got to see it. But I feel good about the offensive line. I really do. I mean, this is about as good as you can ask for, I think, to this point. And it seems like they got depth now, Nick. They got three tackles. They got three guards. They can play. If something happens, Jagger Burton, Eli Cox can play center.
Bowles got some run on Saturday.
They've got some built-in answers right now, and that's a really good sign moving forward.
Yeah, and Clark Brooks had some stats, too. Friend of the program, recurring guest. Kentucky had four explosives.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Only one tackle for loss allowed. 64% of their production came prior to contact. Average yards per carry. Yards before contact, 2.7 yards. They're moving some bodies. They aren't giving up a lot of tackles for loss. And, you don't feel it. Like, oh, I mean, half the time last year, you're just like, Will, throw it. Please, hurry. Don't die. You know, like that. And I think it got in his head, too. Like, he didn't have a great feel for it. Leary's got a good sense of awareness back there. But then I think he kind of got to feeling stuff that wasn't there because he was just getting hit so much. So, it's...
Well, and he was hurt. He was a lame duck in that pocket for most of the year last year. He just couldn't move. He didn't... You're right. He wasn't the best from a feel, pressure aspect, just kind of the mental part of that playing quarterback in that way, where Leary, I think, feels a lot more. We've already seen a couple guys miss in the pocket when they do get pressure. And so Kentucky's pressure to sack percentage is pretty low. A lot of it because Leary can make the guys miss and he can extend plays in that way. Like, he's not necessarily going to go take off like he's Jalen Daniels at Kansas, but he can make guys miss in the pocket that gives you more time for throws or even for throwaways when you got to, the defense wins. Just getting rid of the ball and getting to second and 10 or whatever is a good play. And we've seen that from him. So that you're going to need some of that against good teams because they're going to get a free runner on him every once in a while, or they're going to have a quick pass rush win. Having a quarterback that can be loose in the pocket and extend plays and be an athlete is something that you need to have at this level of football. And so we've seen Leary being able to do that. The offensive line's going to, like, I still don't think it's going to be one of the better units in the SEC or in college football, but I've seen enough to, like, this can be serviceable. This is that a unit you can win a bunch of games with.
I don't know how you – Zulu Kincaid? Yeah, that's – okay, I'm right. Took me a second to read that name on the board, but as if there was – if we anticipated a conversation about Dylan Ray at guard and Eli Cox at center once Horsey returns, and I would just say no because he's played mostly the left side. That's Horsey's preferred side. And get a little weird. They'd be putting a light on him. And I think – here's the other part too is Jagger – needs to be the long-term solution at center. That needs to happen. You can, and he can play his way through that. So it's better off if you kind of keep it that way. And hell, rotate Ray in, right? Like
that's what I was going to say. I think what you could see if he keeps playing well is maybe try to give him a series a game, whether it's a designated third or fourth series of a game or whatever. Just throw him out there and let him get some snaps.
I really like Walker Yaw's take. Here it said, I know it's hot, but I'd rather have Trevin Wallace on my team than Harold Perkins if they're both just middle linebackers. And dude, Trevin's a badass right now. Like it, I love.
Yeah.
Brad didn't have the most relatable cop. He was like, it's like a Tesla when you hit on the accelerator, it really just takes off and you don't realize it. It's like, yeah, don't know how that feels like, Brad. I'm not driving Teslas all the time.
How about a go kart, Brad? Can you compare that to maybe a golf cart or a go kart? Yeah.
I mean, maybe you, like a cigar boat or something. Like I've been on some fast-ish boats before, where you're like, "Whoa, this thing kind of gets up and goes, gets away from you." But I love the Tesla cop there, because the thing is they're using Trevin. Why isn't Matt House doing that with him? Where they're just like, "Okay, we'll do this little green dog. We'll delay here. See ball go hit ball." Just go get his ass. Because he is, 27% of his rushes, he's hitting the quarterback. Or, like, pushing him or whatever you want to call it. Making him throw the ball. He's getting after it. I know it's a small sample size. But there's even sometimes, too, where you see him and he's playing it a little conservatively. And you're like, oh, Trevin, just go sack his ass. Right? Like, but where he's kind of holding a little bit longer. But he gets there so fast, he can almost afford to wait. He is a heat-seeking missile back there in the middle of the Kentucky defense right now.
I mean, he's a cat, literally. That's how he moves. Like he's on you, and you're done. You're gone.
Have you watched the new Mario movie yet, Luckett?
I have not. I do want to see it.
Great, great movie. Kids movie, adult movie. There's a scene where Mario and DK have to fight. To get the monkey army to go fight Bowser. That's what, like how they get him. And Mario becomes a cat. And watching Mario just like, and he just is like running circles around Donkey Kong. That's what Trevin Wallace is right now. Just he's a cat. He's a Mario cat.
To me, it reminds me kind of how Georgia when they had N'Kobe Dean. Now their defense was awesome. Their defense line was awesome, and he was able. But they just let him just come all the time, and just go blitz and take down a quarterback. And if he lasered in on you, you were toast. You weren't getting past him. It reminds me a little bit of that when some of the like simulated pressures and the green dogs and the lay blitzes and all of that. Now with Trevin, you do have to ride the roller coaster because he's still young as a player and inexperienced in some ways. And I think you can see that play out. He gets lost in coverage sometimes. Mm-hmm. He gets lost in the box on typical run fits, but you don't want to get too hard on him because he makes huge, like these plays we're talking about are huge kind of drive ending plays.
Yeah.
Like we talk about a defense that struggles to get off the field. This is a third down winner. Like he's going to get you off the field on third down. Yes.
I mean, just,
The good, the highs are higher than the lows are low. So you're taking all of that. And that's going to, I think the pass rush has been pretty good. I know some will disagree, but I've been pleased with the pass rush, and he's a big reason why.
We had another question about J.J. Weaver too, and I can't find it right now. But for me, it was Camby 22 asked how we would grade him through two games. I feel like he's been slightly disappointing. I don't. I mean, I just think that like. You can't have expectations of J.J. Weaver to be Josh Allen. JJ's playing good football. You know, I mean, if you look across his career, he hasn't had those havoc stats yet. Like, those haven't shown up. But I think they will, too. It's just a matter of time. And I think some of this is a lot of a kind of a feeling out period for the defense where as much as some of them play together, like, there is a – when Trevin's running around raising hell, like, I don't think they're all quite used to knowing where exactly he's going to be and supposed to be. So I haven't – I know people have very high expectations for JJ, but – he has 2 tackles for loss and a sack, and I believe he only had 3 sacks and 6 tackles for loss all last season. So you kind of just, all right, let's let the cake bake a little bit more there.
Yeah, I think for JJ, he's a known commodity. So having him out there, to me, is his biggest trait he's bringing is availability.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's been banged up in the past. So keeping him healthy is more important until when you get into some of these bigger games. I do think when Kentucky plays Florida, you're going to notice him more. When it gets into 2 tight end sets, when Florida's trying to run through Kentucky's face, you're going to notice him more as an edge setter, a run defender that can anchor and hold the point and create run stuff. So I think you're going to notice him more. He is not a twitchy, bendy edge rusher.
Yeah, yeah.
He is long, he is strong, and he can play through people, but he's not Josh Allen.
Yeah,
long story short. Not. So his value is more as an anchor, as a run stuffer, as an edge setter. And then with his length, he can cause issues, and he can bull rush, and he can collapse the pocket. But he's not going to be this crazy productive pass rusher. Now, he can get sacks like the one he had, where I believe Deion Walker won with a quick pressure, quarterback stepped up in the pocket, and Weaver collapsed the pocket, and he was there to make a sack.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see, I think, things like that, but his real value is going to come later. And for him, it's just having him on the field, keeping him on the field. Because in the big games, you're going to see him make plays. We've seen it before. You just got to keep
him. The Florida interception, I mean, he's shown up. I believe he had one against Louisville, too.
Big. That's the other thing. He is, when asked upon, he's provided quality coverage. And that's something that they're having trouble with, I think, at the other outside linebacker position. Keaton Wade has got picked on twice. That's the place I think teams are going to look to target Kentucky. That's something they have to shore up. So they have to figure that out. But for Weaver, just having him on the field is the most important.
Yeah, and there's also going to be some times this year, too, where another guy gets a sack because J.J. Weaver busted his guy's ass back into the quarterback, right? Like, that's going to happen, and he's not going to get credit for it. But you're going to see that havoc in that backfield, in part due to him. One more question I wanted to get to that I just had pulled up, but I got distracted because these are some great stuff right here on KS Board. Absolutely love it. Like it, love it, want some more of it. Somebody asked, where are we going to pregame tailgate? I like it. We need to get is your crew still setting up shop in the same spot, or is that is that going to be a regular occurrence, or is it a week-to-week basis?
I think, yeah, that's going to be a spot. And then I have some college friends up in the red lot, our typical spot, that have been there. We got to get out and about a little bit. This is our first night game, so we're going to be able to venture a little bit. It's been a little weird to start the season, the nooner, and then had some work obligations last week I had to attend to. So now I'm going to actually get to spend a few hours in the parking lot this Saturday. So we'll be out and about. But if you if you have a place we need to check out, let us know. Or if you see us, just holler at us.
That's more of the thing. Just invite us to your tailgate. We'll come say hey. It was also very cool. I ran into an old college friend and met Chaka Cummings. Met some listeners of the program that we normally see on here. Very, very fun to see internet friends in person. So please, by all means, hit us up. We don't bite. We might just.
I mean, it's gonna be beautiful weather Saturday. Absolutely beautiful. I think the high is 80, so it's going to be 70s most of the day in the parking lot. when you get into the game, it's going to be low 70s, and when you leave the stadium, it's going to be in the 60s. So, Nick, you talked about the quarter zip. If you got a Bird Dogs quarter zip, bring it out. And then when we leave the stadium, it's going to be in the 50s. So, like, you're going to feel the football chill just a little bit this Saturday and have beautiful weather tailgating. So it's going to be a fun, I think, night out at Kroger Field.
And if you don't have tickets, GameTime.co or download the GameTime app. Fastest, most efficient way to get tickets onto your phone for all your last-minute sporting events, concerts, whatever it may be. Game Time app, it's convenient, it's easy to use, and it's so great because, like, I can't, you know, I got sent tickets to this game tonight, like, I don't know where they are, but if I got sent to them on the Game Time app, it would just, boom, fly through. I know exactly where I'm going to sit, where I'm going to go. Be easy peasy lemon squeezy. So, you know, download the Game Time app, do the right thing, and put in promo code KSR, and you're going to get $20 off your first purchase with the Game Time app, GameTime.co. Babysitter's not here yet. That's a little concerning, Luckett. It's a little concerning.
The dad problems.
Gosh. Just, you know, we're trying to juggle here. We're trying to do a lot of juggling. We've answered a lot of your questions because, I'm going to be frank, Akron stinks. They're not a good football team. They're very bad. It's kind of a poop show over there. Joe Moorhead's press conference was just like the SID asking him questions, like just soft tosses. I mean, it was this is not bad. But they did at least have the MAC Defensive Player of the Week. They had one defensive back pick off a couple of passes last week. But they needed a scoop and score in the final minute to beat an FCS team. So, like, kind of tells you where they're at. They turned it over five times themselves, played three different quarterbacks. They've got a runner. They've got a thrower.
They got another guy who comes in and plays wildcat quarterback and goal-to-goal situations and short yardage.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And I would expect Joe Moorhead, too, to put some stress, to use his running quarterback to put some stress on those edges. But, yeah, Kentucky should beat the hell out of this team. This is, in my opinion, the worst team they've played this year.
Yeah, I think when you look at Akron, skill talent wise on offense, they have some pieces. Alex Atkins is a LSU transfer. Daniel George is a Penn State transfer at receiver. Atkins was an All-MAC player last year. George leads the team in reception or receiving yards so far this year. Both of those guys went up over 700 yards last year. Like, those are good receivers. That's one of the better receiver twosomes in the MAC. Like, they have weapons there. They went out and added two former Power 5 running backs, Drake Anderson and Lorenzo Lingard. Lingard was a five-star recruit in the class of 2018. They got two nice running backs. He had a big play against Temple, like a 70-yard touchdown reception. So they have some skill talent pieces around them, but the quarterback play has been really, really, really bad through eight quarters. They benched starter DJ Irons, who's a super senior, for Jeff Undercuffer Jr., and he comes in and throws three interceptions against Morgan State. So it's like, why are you benching Irons for this? What's going on there? They're pulling Taj Bullock, who's a Virginia Tech transfer, and they're just letting him run. You know, he has a package, goal-to-goal, a short yardage package. So Kentucky's going to see a wildcat quarterback option similar to what they saw, different ways. I mean, Kyle Kelly did the same for Ball State. Bullock's more of a kind of bruiser, north-south runner than Kelly. So you're going to see that. And, offensively, they're just kind of a mess right now. And that's not really what you would think with Joe Moorhead calling the shots, but they're just trying to figure things out. Defensively, they look improved over eight quarters. They were one of the worst defenses in the MAC last year. They've really hit they hit junior college into transfer portal hard. C.J. Nunnally was a junior college transfer they added in there. Went to the same high school, Nick, as Jamarian Wilcox, South Paulding there. So they got him. Ryan Johnson's their other edge rusher. They've been rushing the passer well this week. So that's, to me, if Kentucky holds up in pass protection, they should have a big game, to me. That's kind of where Akron is making their mark. It's producing havoc on defense to me. It's taking care of the football, pass protecting. You should put up some big numbers on offense and defensively. Joe Moorhead, I mean, it's a heavy 11 personnel offense, RPOs. They'll run some no huddle. I mean, it's a typical college spread offense that you see all over the place. But the quarterback situation is a mess right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what does that mean for Kentucky? We'll find out. I mean, the goal of the game, the goal is to just get out of there with a win. Obviously, I think the fan base really wants some style points. I think that's
right.
Obvious. I think there's some frustrated people, and I get that from a certain aspect. But to me, I just want to see the offense start faster. Like, that's the big key. If they start faster, then they've shown you a bunch of things, I think, early in the season where they're working through some stuff. But I just want to see them start faster.
Yeah.
And then defensively, I don't want to see a lull out of halftime like we've seen the last two games. Defensively, they played really good football first half against EKU and Ball State. Put it all together. I mean, maybe they didn't play great against EKU, but they got stops, got takeaways. They're getting takeaways. They're rushing the passer. They're making plays. They're stopping the run. But those are completing almost 70% of their passes, Nick. They got to get that number dropped down in a quick way. Like, that can't be happening. And so you're facing a team with a bad quarterback situation. If Akron comes in here and completes over 65% of the throws, that's not going to be a good sign. I want to see fast start offense. I want to see defense avoid the lull in the third quarter, and I want to see that opponent's completion percentage drop. And if you do that, you should take care of business. Mark Stoops, they typically play well in this spot. In a game directly after not covering against an FCS and G5 opponent, he's 5-0 against the spread since 2018. This is when you back them.
Yeah, and especially after everything happened in the last week, I would imagine that not only would they be locked in, but I think there might be a little bit of like, all right, everybody just chill the hell out. Let's go play some football. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's you know, the big thing with the offense. It feels like they're trying to score 40 points per play.
Yeah,
it's okay. They just need and that's why I think they go into halftime, and I don't think they're doing anything crazy in that locker room.
Yeah,
I think they're just like, hey,
just
calm down, right? We'll be fine. Everybody just calm down and play.
Throw.
And then they do, and they come out. That's what I want to see. Just everybody relax early. And let's just go play football. I want to see them deal with adversity. Like, if you get a flag, come back and still get the first down. You know, you get a false start on third and one, that shouldn't be an automatic drive killer. You should be able to convert a third and six. You got to be able to convert some of the third down. Defensively, get off the field on third down.
We'll see if they can make it happen. The third down defense has been bad. And, you know, there's not any one way to pinpoint it. On one thing, a lot of it's just, hey, don't make mental mistakes. Don't miss the call and drop it in the same zone. Like, there's been some just doy-doy moments at inopportune times, and it's cost the Cats, and they've let up big plays. But
safeties make tackles.
Yeah, that too.
Safeties make tackles. They might have a donut against EKU.
Yeah, yeah. So, but as you said at the top of the show, Brad White has got it fixed in the past. This defense, they got a little bit more wiggle room for me to give me some confidence that they can get it fixed. So, 7:30 ESPNU, not SEC Network, ESPNU, going to be a little bit different. But first night game of the season. So, like I mentioned earlier, it's going to be a long, full day of tailgating. we're going to preview the whole slate Friday afternoon, the Pigskin preview. It's going to be a good time. Well, kid, I need to bounce back. We could not be any more opposite right now. You're a human flamethrower, and I'm as cold as ice.
For those that aren't paying attention, went perfect 3-0 on the preview, but gambling column every Friday. A 9-1 rip last week, Nick.
9-1.
The
man.
One loss should not have been a loss. It was the right side. We just went to double overtime.
Yeah.
And the North Carolina under team total was looking pretty the whole time. If daggone kicker makes a kick at the end, it's a 10-0 week.
Oh, man.
Now, with that said, I won't do that again the rest of the year. But we're gonna get to the window hopefully more times than not. And so come join us over there. We're giving out winners.
Winners, 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 winners. We got him. KSR Plus, KS Board, KS Everything. We got it all. It's been a lot of fun hanging out with y'all in 11 personnel. Let's go see the Cats get a dub tonight. Kick those cards in the tail. Go Cats and go Krogering.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.